Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara, and to elevating the souls of Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shore, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. We've got so much territory to cover on this program. I don't know how we're going to do it, but we're just going to have to move very fast. Let me start off by saying several people observe that, you know, that we're now at a different, we're filming this in a different location. And but I'm filming it by myself, and I'm not a professional, and I don't have professional equipment or lighting here. So several people said to me, what is this, you're dyeing your hair black? I know this is a minor, ridiculous issue, but just let me bring it up just to get it out of the way. No, my hair is not black. It's because of the lousy lighting that it looks like my hair is black. Just like I have blue eyes. You can't see my blue eyes. You can't see a lot of aspects. A lot of aspects are distorted when you have poor lighting and a camera that comes out of a laptop, which is what I'm doing this from. So this is just because I'm an amateur, I'm not a professional, and I'm doing the best I can with what I know for myself. I taught myself how to do these things. We used to have a professional named Shlomo, who is still in touch with us and is a wonderful person. Shlomo, when Shlomo worked for us, we could do very professional videos. Shlomo does not work for us anymore because we just couldn't afford to have him. To keep him on staff, we had only one person on staff. He's the only person we ever hired and put on staff. And in the United States, we never had any staff. We never hired any people. And Shlomo was doing a great job for us. The only problem was we couldn't have him on and do our advertising campaign in Hebrew, that's directed at Israeli Jews. Which gets hundreds of thousands of views every year. Hundreds of thousands of Israeli Jews see our videos in Hebrew because of our advertising campaign every year, and that has to take priority. And so Shlomo, unfortunately, doesn't work for us anymore. We wish he did, because he was absolutely fantastic, and that's one of the prices we're paying. Is that you see that, you know, looks like my hair is not black. Okay, this is because of poor lighting that you're seeing this. If you saw me in person, you'd see my hair is not black. Okay, and you see other distortions here and there, but I just wanted to get that out of the way. I know it's a minor issue. I wanted to get it out of the way. Well, unfortunately, JTF was right about the elections. And, you know, JTF has predicted every election since JTF came into existence. JTF was formed in 1991. And we've predicted every election, every presidential election since the 1992 election when Bill Clinton beat George Bush Sr. And all of our predictions have always been correct. And in fact, if you look back at the predictions we made in the 70s and 80s, because I had radio shows and Rabbi Kahana, our great leader, was making predictions then. All of our predictions on every presidential election, going back to 1972, all of our predictions were always correct. Always correct. Except for 2016. We did predict that Hillary Clinton would beat Donald Trump. She did beat him in the popular vote, but she lost the Electoral College vote, and so Donald Trump was elected president. So 2016 was the only time when JTF was wrong in predicting who would actually be elected as president of the United States. And in this particular election, we very much wanted Joe Biden to be defeated. He definitely is worse than Donald Trump. And this is bad news for us, the fact that Biden has won. But we predicted. Let's understand what our prediction was here. We predicted, number one, we predicted that Biden would defeat Trump. I made it very clear that I was very pessimistic about Trump's chances of winning. We also said that we believed that the polls do undercount Trump supporters, that we thought Trump would do stronger than what the polls were showing. A lot of the media polls would show a gap of 8 or 10 points. You know, we knew that was wrong. We knew that was off. And we predicted it would be a lot closer than that, but we still said that Biden would win. And that's exactly what it played out exactly as we predicted. And I want to mention that because there were people, lots of people, who came on during the past 4 years and during this election saying, you don't know what you're talking about. Trump is definitely going to win. He's going to win by a landslide. And by the way, Newt Gingrich predicted that Trump would be reelected by a landslide. And there were and the Republican pollsters showed that Donald Trump was going to win. And there were people on Fox News predicting that he was going to win by a landslide, and people on talk radio saying he was going to win by a landslide. Rush Limbaugh predicted he would win. Sean Hannity, of course, and Laura Ingraham, and all the other Fox personalities were all predicting, Tucker Carlson, were all predicting that Trump was going to win. So there's no question that they were wrong. And even though we wanted to be wrong, we made it very clear that we hope we're wrong, and we urged people week after week. We said it's very important. If you haven't voted yet, get out and vote for Donald Trump. This is very important. We've got to vote for Donald Trump because Joe Biden will be much worse. We made that very clear, and we urged people repeatedly. For months, we've been urging people to vote for Trump against Biden. But we weren't optimistic. We were pessimistic about what the results were going to be in the end, and we were proven right, tragically, unfortunately. And by the way, let there be no doubt that even though there is voter fraud, and yes, I mean, there's no question there's voter fraud, and I don't trust black people in Philadelphia counting ballots without letting observers even see what they're counting. And I don't trust any of that. But still, Biden got about 4 million votes more than Trump in the popular vote. And he's won enough states so that even fraud or no fraud, I don't see how Trump was going to win this thing. He was not going to win. And he lost. Unfortunately, he lost. Now, what does this mean? This means we're in a lot of trouble. And we're talking now primarily, our number one issue is Israel. As you know, we've already explained to you why Biden is worse on the issue of Iran. Iran building nuclear bombs, Biden wants to go back to the horrific Obama-Biden nuclear deal with Iran, where Iran was getting hundreds of billions of dollars in all types of benefits, in direct cash payments, and in all types of benefits, especially trade benefits, from the United States, Western Europe, and other countries, as a result of the deal that Obama made with them, because Obama supported Iran, supports Muslim terrorist Iran, and Biden supports Muslim terrorist Iran, and they're going to try to prop up and support and strengthen the Iranian Nazi regime, which is working to build an arsenal of nuclear bombs. That puts Israel in grave danger. That creates a very grave danger to Israel, to America, to the whole Western world. The danger of a nuclear holocaust and nuclear terrorist attacks, because Iran is the number one sponsor of international terrorism in the world. Trump did get out of the, finally, belatedly, he got out. He got out too late. He got out 2 years too late. Ted Cruz was going to get out the first day, on the day he was elected, he was going to get out of that Iranian nuclear agreement. And not only that, Ted Cruz made it clear that if Iran did not immediately, verifiably stop all of its nuclear activities and dismantle its entire nuclear program, the United States was going to go in and do it for them, which means he was saying that the United States would strike them militarily, the U.S. Air Force, which would have been done in hours. In one day, the United States Air Force can easily destroy and devastate Iran's entire nuclear bomb-making program, and the Iranians couldn't do squat in response. And so this is something, you know, we've spoken about this issue before. Ted Cruz, of course, would have been ideal on the issue of Iran, but you didn't support Ted Cruz in 2016. You gave us Trump. Trump was too chicken to do anything against Iran and too dumb to understand that you can attack Iran from the air. You don't have to invade the country and have a big engagement there where you get stuck in the country like stupid George W. Bush did in Iraq. You don't have to do those things. You go in, you bomb them from the air, and leave. And several hours later, it's all over. And their Iranian nuclear program's in ruins, and you've saved the world from the danger of a nuclear holocaust. That's what should have been done. That's what still should be done by the United States, and still should be done by the Israeli Air Force can do it. But we have another piece of garbage. We have another low-life scum-of-the-earth traitor named Bibi Netanyahu, who's in charge of Israel, who won't do it, who won't send in the Israeli Air Force to do it. So we're faced with this danger. Anyway, so on the issue of Iran, we're in a lot of trouble now. We're in a much worse situation than we were before, and that's the number one reason why we urged you to vote for Trump over Biden, even though we couldn't stand either one of them. Trump is a piece of garbage also. He's another immoral, lying, arrogant piece of garbage. Egotistical, megalomaniacal, ignorant piece of garbage. But when it comes to saving the world from nuclear holocaust, there's no question that the dangers of a Biden presidency are much greater than the dangers of a Trump presidency. Both Biden and Trump were terrible on the issue of Israel. Terrible. Trump's agreements with these Arab countries between Israel and the United Arab Emirates and other Arab countries, Bahrain and these other Arab countries, were terrible for Israel and endanger Israel's security and survival. And the Trump so-called Middle East peace plan is a suicide plan for Israel. So they were both terrible on Israel. Jared Kushner, who modeled himself after the evil Henry Kissinger, that traitor Jared Kushner, who married Trump's daughter and then had a fake, phony, so-called conversion. And you know, I love these Orthodox Jews that are so strict on everything, supposedly, but they'll go along with the most obviously fake, phony conversion that could ever have taken place. Jared Kushner telling Israel to give up land, telling Israel to create a so-called Palestinian state, which would be suicide for Israel, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. Jared Kushner telling Israel you're not allowed to build Jewish housing in Judea, Samaria, and even Jerusalem, Israel's capital. He had a valid conversion with Haskell Lukstein. Haskell Lukstein was responsible for the conversion. Haskell Lukstein, who supported the Oslo agreements and who believes in the most fake, phony 5-minute conversions that you could find. I mean, Haskell Lukstein has the type of conversions that the Reform would be proud of, that the Deformed would be proud of. Anyway, and you have these Orthodox Jews who make any excuse. They worship Donald Trump. They make any excuse. They're such cowards. They are such cowards. They are so wimpy. I'm just sick of it. That they found somebody to worship. They found their Mashiach. Their new Messiah was Donald Trump, who's the opposite of everything Judaism stands for. He's arrogant and immoral and a serial adulterer, and his positions on Israel would destroy the Jewish state. Everything he stands for, everything he did was terrible and the opposite of what Judaism stands for. That doesn't bother the people who want to worship him. Anyway, but Biden is much worse because Biden's policies, especially in regard to Iran, are much worse. And so we're going to have to fight Biden during the next 4 years. We're going to have to resist and fight Biden and his policies. And we're going to have to work toward the day when 2024 comes around. We want to defeat the Biden-Harris administration in 2024. We don't want them staying in office. And during the next 4 years, we want to do everything we can to prevent them from implementing their evil agenda. And what do we do to prevent them from implementing their evil agenda? The most important key thing that is coming up very soon, instead of wasting time on legal battles that Trump is going to, that he has no chance of winning in the courts because there's no validity to them legally, instead of wasting time on nonsense, we've got two Senate races coming up that will decide if the Republicans have a majority in the Senate to block Biden's program or if they don't. By the way, Republican majority in the Senate does not guarantee that Biden's programs and agenda will be blocked, because you have Republican traitors in the Senate who will vote for a lot of Biden's program. Lindsey Graham already announced that he's willing to approve a cabinet for Biden. Why should he? Why should they? They should block everything Biden does. They have the constitutional right to vote any way they wish. Lindsey Graham, right away, the establishment piece of garbage from South Carolina, right away wants to approve Biden's cabinet choices. And you know, Romney and these other guys, and they're so phony. And the one from Maine, that animal, Susan Collins from Maine, and these other phonies, and Murkowski from Alaska. You know, so Biden, even with a Republican majority, he may get everything through, but at least we want a Republican majority in the Senate to try to block Biden's programs and policies. We want to try. And the two Senate races, they're going to be two Senate runoffs, because in Georgia, they have a law that if you don't get a majority of the votes, there has to be a runoff. And so there's going to be a runoff for the two Senate races in Georgia. And those two Senate races and that runoff will decide whether or not the Republicans hold a majority in the Senate or don't. And so, you know, we've been contacted. I don't know if we could do anything, if JTF can be of any help. Let me tell you what happened. You'll find this interesting, and maybe I'll discuss it more in future programs. I don't have a lot of time to discuss it because we have so many subjects to cover, so much territory to cover tonight. And I'm saying tonight because I'm recording this at night. These two evangelical leaders, or one of them, anyway, these two evangelical leaders in Georgia contacted us and said we have a problem because one of the Senate candidates for the Democrats is a self-hating Jew, and he's running against someone, a Republican candidate who's been accused of anti-Semitism. And let me tell you something. I wouldn't be surprised if the Republican candidate is an anti-Semite, but I would rather have the white anti-Semite, the white Republican anti-Semite, than the self-hating Jewish anti-Semite. We must support the Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate in Georgia. We must not have this self-hating Jew sitting in the U.S. Senate. The worst thing is to have people like Schmuck Schumer and these other animals running the country. Okay, that's the worst thing. You let these self... Even with Trump, the bad influence in his administration came from people like Jared Kushner, the self-hating Jews. They are the worst nightmare for the Jewish people. We don't want self-hating Jews. I would love to pass a law that Jews cannot serve in the Senate or the House or as judges or cabinet members or in administrations. I'd love to bar Jews from ever serving. If we could do that, the Jewish people would be so much better off. Anywhere outside of Israel, Jews are not allowed to serve in any of these offices. Because all they do is work to undermine their own people and stab their own people in the back. Now, these two evangelical Christians contacted us and asked what we could do to help with the... I don't know if we could do anything. And I told them, I don't know, what could we do? We don't... You know, what could we do? We don't have offices or an organization in Georgia. I don't know what we could do. And they said, we're going to get back to you. We're going to see what we can do. They want us to be involved. They don't want to be openly connected to campaigns with us, because obviously JTF is very controversial. But they want us to nevertheless try to conduct a campaign to try to get Jewish votes and pro-Israel votes to the Republican candidate for the Senate, the Republican candidates. By the way, in one of the Senate races, you have a self-hating Jew running against the David Perdue, who was the Republican candidate. And then in the other Senate race, you've got this black, Farrakhan, Jew-hating piece of garbage who calls himself a so-called minister. He's a so-called minister. He should be a minister. He should be a minister of Islam. But he's supposed to be a pastor in a church in Atlanta, okay? And he's a Farrakhan black, and he's running for the Senate. I mean, it's unbelievable what goes on here. So they want us to be involved. They want us to get our message out, especially to the Jewish voters in the Atlanta suburbs, because there is there's a Jewish community, and there are Jewish voters in the Atlanta suburbs, and they, you know, they're concerned that that vote is going to turn out heavily against the Republicans because of all types of accusations of anti-Semitism and other BS that's been thrown around over there, and they want us to get involved in order to explain why it's essential for the Jewish people and for Israel that people vote Republican and that Jews and pro-Israel Gentiles vote Republican there. So I don't know. I don't know what they're planning. I don't know what they're going to suggest to me. They're going to call me back. They suggest, you know, if it's something that we could do, I don't know if we could do anything. I don't know if we could do anything, but we'll see. They contacted us, they contacted me, and we'll see. I don't know if it's going to amount to anything. It may amount to nothing. But it is important, if anybody is living in Georgia, to make sure to vote in those two runoffs for the Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate, the two Republican candidates for the U.S. Senate. If Republicans win those two races, the Republicans will have a majority in the Senate, and there'll be at least a chance of blocking a great deal of Biden's evil agenda. And that's very important for us to do, very important for us to achieve. Why did Trump lose? Let's talk about this. Now, this is the part that Trumpsters hate, but we've got to speak about it because we don't want the same thing to happen again in 2024. and for eternity. I mean, Republicans will never win now if we continue down this road. Why did Trump lose? Let's use as an example the two debates. There were two debates between Trump and Biden. The first debate, Trump was disastrous, like a four-year-old mental case. He was infantile and like a mental case. He kept interrupting every word that came out of Biden's mouth. Now, I hate Joe Biden. He's the scum of the earth. He's low-life scum. I despise him. Okay? But that's not the point. The American people don't like to see the other candidate. They don't like to see a debate where one of the candidates interrupts every single sentence and is rude and boorish during the debate. They don't like to see that type of behavior. I don't mind. I mean, I hate Joe Biden, and I don't think he should have a right to say anything. He's a pig. But this looks bad. It is stupid politics to do this. And Donald Trump lost that debate disastrously because he kept interrupting and he reinforced all the negative stereotypes. They're not stereotypes, they're reality. He reinforced all the negative correct impressions that the American people had of him, that he's ignorant, that he doesn't understand basic politics, and that he doesn't know how to conduct himself in public like a human being. All of these things were reinforced, and he lost a lot of ground after that first debate. Then came the second debate. In the second debate, he behaved himself. He was calm. He made his points. He didn't interrupt Biden more than necessary. He behaved like a normal candidate. And he won. Trump won that debate hands down. The second debate, Trump won hands down. Now, what if Donald... But it was the damage from the first debate was already so severe. And the first debate always gets more viewers than the second debate. Always. In every political campaign. So a lot of damage was already done in the first debate. And the second debate wasn't enough to repair the damage. If Trump had been a disciplined, intelligent, sensible, normal, sane candidate and had behaved in the first debate just like he did in the second debate and had won both debates hands down, then that alone could have turned this election around. If he had won both debates decisively like he did with the second debate, people would have been questioning if Biden's ready to be president. Look, he does a very weak performance. He can hardly speak. He doesn't know. Because Biden is senile. Biden is dead. They buried him in the grave and then dug him up out of the grave and now they're running him for president. He's like a dead man running. I mean, he doesn't have one foot in the grave. He has both feet in the grave. He is the worst candidate. Trump himself said, I'll be very embarrassed if I lose. Trump said, I'd be very embarrassed if I lost to Joe Biden because he's the worst candidate you could possibly have. And it's true. What Trump said was true. And he managed to lose against a candidate who is senile, who can't complete a single sentence, Joe Biden forgot the name of the president he served under for 8 years as vice president. He forgot Obama's name. He couldn't come up with he didn't remember Obama's name. I mean, this is the first sign of Alzheimer's, of senility, of you name it, of dementia. I mean, this is just farcical. And if Trump had beaten him decisively in both debates and then, in addition to that, had run a disciplined campaign, not saying crazy things every 5 minutes and had focused on the issues that the consultants and the experts had found from voter focus groups or the issues that concern the American people, if he had been focused and disciplined and had run an intelligent campaign, instead of saying, the coronavirus, the problem is over, we've turned the corner, the problem is over. The problem isn't over. It's not over. If there's a vaccine, if there eventually is a cure or therapy or vaccine, then it will be over. And maybe companies are close to that. It's possible. But until that happens, the problem is not over. And if you tell that to the American people, you sound like you're out of touch when over 100,000 people are getting infected every single day. The problem is not over. You can't keep saying the problem is over when over 100,000 people are getting infected every single day. And so the problem was we didn't have a disciplined, intelligent, sane candidate running. And that's why Trump lost. That's why he lost. His message didn't get across. Oh, the first subject he brought up obsessively over and over again would be black unemployment, how he reduced black unemployment and gave black people record-breaking employment. What, are you kidding me? Why do you keep emphasizing that? That's not your issue. You're so worried. You're so interested in getting black votes. What did he get in the end? He got 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C., he got 5% of the vote. Biden got 93%, and 2% voted for the minor candidates. 93-5. That's the thanks he got for saying over and over again, I reduced black unemployment. And by the way, he said that he gave record amounts of federal tax dollars to black colleges and black universities, which, by the way, teach hatred of whites and hatred of Jews and hatred of Israel and support Farrakhan and give honors to Farrakhan and support every black Jew hater under the sun and are places where ignorant, low IQ morons that can't even read what's on their college diploma are graduated and become big scholars all of a sudden. Okay? These institutions for morons, for affirmative action morons, these are the places where he bragged during the campaign over and over again that he drastically increased funding for these institutions, and he was telling the truth. He gave much more to black colleges and black universities, anti-white and anti-Semitic black colleges and black universities, than Obama did, than any other president did in history. He gave your tax dollars to these institutions. And he bragged about it. I don't think that's anything to brag about. I think it's something to be ashamed about. He should have cut off all aid to that. Federal tax dollars should not be going, first of all, to any college or institution or university. Taxpayers should not have to subsidize those things. If he was a real conservative, he would have cut off all of that. And especially the colleges and universities that are racist and anti-Semitic. Now, I do want to say the Latino vote, some people may get confused because they'll say, well, but look, he did better with the Latino vote. Look what happened in Florida. The Latino vote was a different story in Florida. That was because of Cuba and Venezuela. Trump did change the Cuba policy, the pro-Castro Cuba policy of Obama. And so the Cubans did come out in force and voted for Trump overwhelmingly, and that's one reason why he won Florida. Also, there is a large and growing Venezuelan community and Venezuelan voters in Florida. And because Venezuela was taken over by communists, and the communists destroyed a country which had been an oil-rich country, which was prosperous and doing very well, and they destroyed the country to the point where there's now starvation in Venezuela. Complete chaos and starvation. So Venezuelans who leave Venezuela, like Cubans who left Castro's Cuba, are very anti-communist, and when you have the Democrat Party running around talking about socialism, naturally, they were turned off by that. And so they came out and voted heavily for Trump, and that's why Trump won in Florida. So the Latino vote was a different story. There you did have a potential to get a large vote on legitimate issues, anti-communism, when anti-communism is a legitimate issue. That's an issue which conservative candidates should run on. I reduced black unemployment and I increased affirmative action and I increased support for black universities. That's not a conservative running, okay? That's someone sucking up to evil people who don't deserve anything. Now, do you remember the Tea Party? Remember the Tea Party? After Obama was elected president in 2008, 2009, 2010, in time for the 2010 midterm congressional elections, something called the Tea Party was formed to elect Republicans to Congress. And indeed, the Republicans lost control of both houses of Congress in that election. And the Tea Party, this thing called the Tea Party, which was a grassroots conservative movement, they played a big role in that. They were very, very heavily involved with that, and dozens of congressmen who were elected called themselves Tea Party congressmen. And what was the Tea Party? The Tea Party said that we're just like the Boston Tea Party in 1776. Or the Boston Tea Party might have been 1775, I don't know. The Boston Tea Party, of course, was rebellion against British taxation without representation. And I'm not an, you know, I don't even remember all the details of what happened in the America's Revolutionary War, American history. I'm a Jew. I want to know Jewish history and Israeli history. My loyalty is to Israel. Okay? And you can't help America, by the way, without being loyal to Israel, because it's I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. All nations are blessed only through Israel. But anyway, the Tea Party was formed after Obama was elected, this movement called the Tea Party Movement, to protest Obama's excessive spending policies. That Obama was spending and increasing the national debt, the annual deficits, the annual budget deficits, and then the long-term national debt, Obama was increasing every year. And so they said, if Obama continues with this, he's going to bankrupt the country. And Donald Trump ran on that. At his rallies over and over again, he mentioned that Obama had increased the national debt and that we're going to go bankrupt if we continue like this and has to stop. So what did Trump do? Trump gets elected, and all the Tea Party people said, oh, good, we're going to cut finally. The Tea Party was formed to fight against big government spending and deficits and debt. Trump was spending 50% at a 50% higher rate than Obama. He increased federal spending at a 50% rate above and beyond what Obama was spending. And I'm talking about prior to the coronavirus. Coronavirus, we went way beyond that with trillions of dollars, multi-trillion dollar bailouts. But even before the coronavirus, Trump had increased spending to a record level. And the deficit and debt was, the deficit means the each year, the annual budget that the Congress comes up with, you have what's called a deficit or a surplus, and every year was a deficit. And debt, the national debt, is the long term, how much the United States owes in the long term. Okay. And that's, by the way, not including, they don't include most of the debt in this country. It's not even included in the figures they give you. But anyway, the debt and deficit were increasing at a record-breaking level. 50% more under Trump than under Obama. And the Tea Party people didn't say a word. Didn't say a word. And anyone who knows anything about the federal budget or knows anything about federal appropriations or anything about federal spending knows that every word I'm telling you is true. Trump increased federal spending right across the board, dramatically increased federal spending. He would cave in over and over again for these what they call continuing resolutions, which means Congress continuing to spend. The point is, he was increasing spending drastically over what Obama had done. If the Tea Party people should have said, what is this? We elected you because you promised you were going to stop this massive spending. You were going to stop these huge deficits that were piling up every year and the gigantic national debt. You yourself said the country's going to go bankrupt if we continue like this. Trump himself said that over and over again at his rallies in 2016. He promised he was going to put an end to this and broke the promise, terribly broke the promise. And the Tea Party people never said a thing. What happened to all the Tea Party people that were so worried about big spending? We never had spending as big as under Trump. What happened to all the Tea Party people? Just the question that I'm asking, because it shows how stupid people are, how the same people who get hysterical if a left-wing Democrat like Obama does something. And what Obama did was bad. Obama was a terrible president, no question about it. But when he does something, if a so-called Republican does the same exact thing and even worse, doesn't bother them. I mean, that's the most irrational, insane thing you could possibly... the most irrational, insane thinking you could possibly have. And you know, Jared Kushner and Trump got something done that Obama tried to get done for 8 years and couldn't get. Obama and Biden and Eric Holder, who was their Jew-hating, racist black attorney general, they tried for 8 years to pass what they called prison reform, which means letting all the black drug dealers who sell poison to children in communities, which they call nonviolent offenders, okay, selling cocaine and crack and heroin and the worst drugs, and also methamphetamine and drugs that a lot of white people use, unfortunately, all types of opioids, Obama wanted to cut them loose, wanted to let them out of prison. Because during the Reagan administration, in the 1980s, the Congress passed tough laws with mandatory minimum sentencing for these drug dealers, who are like mass murderers. These drug dealers are mass murderers. They're mass murderers. They destroy the soul. Somebody who uses drugs, their soul is destroyed. That's like taking the soul away from somebody. It's like murdering them. And eventually they do die. Eventually the drugs do kill them. And of course it destroys and entire communities and causes blight and destruction and devastation in entire communities. And eventually and it has a negative impact on the whole country and all of society. And we've been told all these years, that's no big deal. If people were selling heroin and cocaine and crack and all these other, that those are nonviolent offenders. You shouldn't even put them in prison. There were mandatory minimums that were in place where they had to serve at least 5 years or 10 years or 20 years, or depending on the amounts that they sold and the drug that they sold. And that was ended. That Obama wanted to end that because he wanted to get all his bros out of prison. He wanted to get all the bros out of jail. I don't want them bros in jail. I don't want them doing no time. 8 years he tried to do it and couldn't get it. He couldn't get Congress to move on that. He could not change the policies and get what so-called prison reform, which means letting all the black mass murdering drug dealers out of prison. But Trump did get it done. Trump and Jared Kushner got it done. They released tens of thousands of the worst black criminals and reduced the prison population with black drug dealing criminals, the scum of the earth. Let them out of jail. People who would sell for profit, who would poison children in their own communities with the worst poison, with the worst drugs, stealing the soul of human beings and making them addicted to these evil, monstrous drugs. Tens of thousands of these monsters were released thanks to Jared Kushner and Donald Trump, because Obama couldn't get it done. Because if he tried to do it, all the Republicans in Congress would oppose him, and everybody would, oh no, what are you, crazy? You can't do that. But when Donald Trump proposed doing it, it was okay. If Donald Trump proposed, it's got to be okay. And so Donald Trump and Jared Kushner released tens of thousands of these vicious criminals, and then the states who often model their programs after the federal program and federal sentencing guidelines, they reformed, quote unquote, their sentencing guidelines to reflect the federal ones. And so many, many black criminals, violent, drug dealing, vicious black criminals, were released from federal and state prisons during Trump's administration. And yes, the crime rate is soaring now, and that's one of the reasons. That's one of the big reasons why the crime rate is soaring. That's Jared Kushner and Donald Trump. And they bragged about it in the campaign. They said, Trump bragged about it in the debate. Why didn't you get it done? He said to Biden. In fact, Biden was one of the sponsors of the tough sentencing laws in the 1980s that put black criminals in prison. And Trump mentioned that, needled him with that in the debate because he was so anxious to try to get black votes and get credit among black voters. Again, the credit they gave him, he got 5% of the vote in Washington, D.C. He got slaughtered among black voters. Anyway, here's what we have to learn from all of this. We've got to fight Joe Biden now. Trump and all the arguments about Trump, let's put that aside now. He's finished. Thank God that at least that we don't have to deal with now. But what we have to deal with now, unfortunately, is even worse. And we've got to fight Joe Biden. We've got to fight him every step of the way. We've got to win those two Senate races in Georgia, which are coming up soon, the two Senate runoffs that are coming up. And we've got to fight the Biden-Harris administration and their plans. There's no question that they will work to pressure Israel to commit national suicide, and there's no question that their plans on Iran will be very, very dangerous. We got to fight them. We got to fight them every step of the way. And we're going to do what we're going to do the best we can in trying to do that. And most importantly, we're going to try to be bringing the truth to as many Israeli Jews as possible. Because an Israel that is independent, militarily, economically, and politically, does not have to worry about who sits in the White House. Israel has the capability to easily defend herself and to easily prosper on her own and have much more trade and much more of everything if Israel would just do what Hashem, what God commands Israel and the Jews to do. Am levadad yishkonu vagoyim lo yitchashav. This is a nation that shall dwell alone and not be reckoned among the nations. If Israel would follow that dictum, then she would prosper. That's what Israel did in the 1948 War of Independence, and we got a Jewish state for the first time in 2,000 years. Israel ignored the pressure from the whole world, and we got a Jewish state. 1967, before the Six-Day War, United States, Lyndon Johnson said he's going to cut off all aid to Israel. He threatened Israel. The Soviets threatened Israel. The French did cut off their arms shipments to Israel. Everybody was threatening Israel. Israel ignored it, struck first on all fronts, beat the entire Arab world that had come to destroy the Jewish state. In 6 days, Israel quadrupled in size. We had the most spectacular, breathtaking, miraculous victory in thousands of years. Thousands of years we hadn't seen a miracle like this, like the 1967 Six-Day War. That's what happens when the Jews decide to follow Hashem and not Trump or Biden or United States or France or Russia or the UN or this group or that group. Follow what God commands in the Bible. It works. That formula works. The other formula of relying on the nations never works. Never works. It's always a disaster. The Netanyahu formula, disaster. And so we got to bring that message to the people of Israel, and we're doing that. We're doing that. Hundreds of thousands of Jews, tens of thousands of Jews in Israel see our, because of our advertising campaign, see our videos every month. Hundreds of thousands see it every year. It's not enough to turn the situation around, unfortunately, but at least some truth is getting out there, and we're doing the best we can to reach as many people with the truth as we can. And maybe, those messages, those videos that they see because of the advertising campaign, maybe this thing, the times that we touch the lives of Israeli Jews, mostly young Jews see our videos, maybe the times when we touch the lives of these Israeli Jews with our message, maybe this will pave the way for a new day in Israel, when Israel will be independent, when Israel will do what God commands them to do, when Israel will decide not to talk about Palestinian states and freezing Jewish settlements and relations with Arab Muslim Nazis that want to destroy the Jewish people and have a religion to destroy the Jewish people, and begging for diplomatic recognition from this Jew-hating country and that Jew-hating country. Instead of that, for Israel to be a light unto the nations and a holy nation and a nation of priests. That day will come eventually, but we want to pave the way as quickly as possible. And so we try to bring a message of truth to the people of Israel now. That's what we're trying to do. And so we're going to be working on all of these things. And this was bad news. Biden's victory was bad news. But we've got to believe in God, and we've got to do everything we can to fight against those that would do us harm. And that's what we're going to be doing. And that's how we're going to face up to this situation. And remember, in the end, the good guys will win. I don't know when. I probably won't live to see it. God forbid. I hope it comes next year. I hope it comes very fast. But it may be another 100 years from now. I don't know when. But eventually, the prophets and Hashem and God have promised us that the good guys will win, that the Jews will wake up, and the whole situation will be turned around. And when it happens this time, this third time, that the Jews have returned to Israel, it'll be forever. And so, remember, if we work together as a team, we can change history, and we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.